I want to think about a scripture in John 1 that we're all real familiar with, most of us. It says, "In him was life," speaking of Jesus. And it says, "The life was the light of men." And, you know, life is as opposed to death, and light is as opposed to darkness. And, you know, this morning, it says that in Christ was life, and his life was the light of men. You know, the darkness of the world all around us today is full of every kind of torment and corruption and darkness and evil and sorrow and sadness of the world and many things like that. But Jesus came, and in him was everything opposite to that. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, this morning, light is reckoned to, as we see this morning here, if we didn't have light in here, we would have what? Darkness. If we had darkness, what would be our problem? We couldn't see where we were going. We couldn't see what we were fixing to trip over. We couldn't see who we was fixing to bump into and hurt. And all the we just could not see. But Jesus Christ came to bring light. And he came to bring light into our lives. He came to bring the kind of thing that changes people's lives from darkness, from not being able to see their way, from not being able to understand the things that are good in life, the eternal values of things. And he came to bring light and to bring life. And so this morning I want to talk a little bit about that he wants to put that within us, and he wants it to be our light. And he wants us to have himself within us, where that we also can be a light to others. You know, the Lord wants our life to be something that others can see that gives them understanding. He wants our life to be something that people can behold and say, you know what, that's right. That's the way it ought to be. You know, people ought to be honest with one another. You know, people ought to walk in that. You know, that brings peace, doesn't it? You know, the things of righteousness, the things of the Lord, those things bring life, don't they? And they bring light. And the Lord wants to put it in us. And he wants our lives to be something that people can also pattern after. Now, that's scripture. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is our pattern. He laid down for us a foundation. He gave us the values of life. He taught us what was right and what was wrong and what was good and what was healthy and what was unhealthy. And the Lord gave us all those things. He taught us what his church was. He taught us what the truth was. The Lord gave us those things, didn't he? You know, he wants our life to emanate and to proclaim those things just the way that we live. He wants our life to channel light to other people. He said, "Ye are the light of the world," didn't he? But didn't he also say, "I am the light of the world"? And so we see that Christ is the light of the world, but so are we. Because his light is supposed to come through us, and others are supposed to be able to see the life of God. And the life that the Lord wants to get, he wants others to be able to see truth through our lives, as opposed to error, as opposed to the thing that destroys, the sins, the darkness, the wickedness, the chains that captivate people's lives and land them up in all kinds of misery and troubles. The Lord wants our lives to be directly opposite that. And so this morning I just want to look at some of the scriptures that tells us what the Lord would like our life to be like. He wants us to be able to be a pattern for other people to look upon. Let's start over in 1 Peter 2 and 20. You know, we can never We can never give life from ourselves, can we? But we can point people to where the light is, can't we? We can show them enough light that they can find the way. Because nobody can find life through us, but they can find life through Jesus Christ this morning. We want to look at this starting at verse 20 of 1 Peter 2. It says, "For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well, ye suffer for it, and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Now, you know, Jesus suffered for us, didn't he? And did he do it patiently? Or did he curse the ones that hurt him? Did he sue them at the law and take them on and get malicious and do all the things that people do to protect themselves? Jesus didn't do that, did he? But it says here that Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. You know what an example is this morning? An example is something like something else, isn't it? It's an example. Here's how you nail this board on. And my dad would tell us and take the hammer and show us. He was a carpenter. And he would take the nail and we would get it up there close to the head where we could hit it. And then you push and drive and push and you use all your effort and the nail still just bends. He said, let the hammer do the work. Get out to the end. And so he showed us an example. And you take the hammer and you swing it like this and let it hit the nail. And when it hits the nail, it drives it. And it drives it straight in. And you know, we learned to drive a nail because we were shown by example how you drive a nail. You know, the Lord showed us by example how to suffer patiently. He showed us by example how to live godly in an ungodly world. He showed us by example how that you can live in the world and not be of the world. Jesus showed us that, didn't he? And so he gave us an example by his life of what it meant to please God. We read on here, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again." You know what that means? He didn't get the last word. He didn't come back. When he reviled him and they said, and they smote him and asked him, "Who was it? Who smote you? Tell me who. Who smote you?" He didn't say. He could have come back, couldn't he? He could have told them who it was. He didn't do that. "When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously." Another place in John 13 says, "For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you." Now that's when Jesus was washing men's feet. And he was doing that lowly deed. And he said, "I've given you an example. This is how you live with people. Serve them." You know, I want to look over in 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 now. And Paul wrote to these people, these Corinthians, and he said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And maybe we'll read several places like that. But you know, he wrote to the Philippians the same thing. He wrote to the Thessalonians the same thing. You be followers of me. As he didn't always say, "as I am of Christ," but that's understood in those times. Do you know that Paul told them, be followers of me. And you read the chapter before it, that's what he was talking about. Serving the Lord and serving him rightly. Understanding the will of the Lord in our lives. In 2 Timothy 2 and 1, I want to come to a few thoughts here about this in a few minutes. 2 Timothy 2 and 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." You know, Paul was imparting to Timothy some very valuable things. And he said, "Timothy, the things that you've heard from me, I want you to commit those to other men also. Do you know that there are people around us that are beholding how we live and what we believe, our faith? They're beholding our reactions. They're beholding who we are and what we think. And do you know that that is what's getting in their mind about what we're supposed to do in life?" I've been amazed beyond measure at the amount of influence that people can have on someone else, especially when you come up in the same home. The influence is incredible, the amount of influence that someone can have just by the way it's done. This is the way they lived, and so somebody else comes up and they do it just like that. Right or wrong, that's the way it's done. They take paths, and you see that following right after. Do you know that somewhere along the way, folks, we have to start the process of leading people to the Lord. Somewhere we have to find a place where somebody says, "It's ending with me. Here, from this point on, I'm going to lead people to Christ. I want to show people the way to the Lord. I want to show people the way of light and the way of life." Somewhere it has to start. Somewhere we have to stop the darkness. Somewhere we have to stop the bad behavior, the things that Satan would creep into our lives, and begin to allow God to work in our lives. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to have something that we can pass on to. And so we get that. I think about when the Lord asked Peter, everybody was leaving him because they became disillusioned with some of the things Jesus said. And so all the people left practically. And so he turned and asked those, he asked them who he was. Who am I? Who do you all think that I am? You know, Jesus said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter said that. Peter had a divine revelation. And the Lord told him that flesh and blood had not revealed that to him. You didn't get that from flesh and blood. You got that from the Father. You know, now he had been walking with Jesus. He had been understanding. He had been seeing things. But you know where he got that? He got that as a divine revelation to his own heart. Now, folks, the Lord wants you and me to walk in such a way that we point people to the one that can give them a divine revelation. And so this morning, that's a great work for us to do. And I just want to encourage every one of us today that we follow the Lord in such a way. I guarantee you there's somebody following you. I almost guarantee you that probably everybody here has somebody that is really influenced by our life. And the Lord wants us to consider that and to follow the Lord closely in our life and have something to pass off that people can safely find the Lord in their life if they want to. In 1 Timothy 4 and 12, I want to look at some of these different places where people are passing off to others. 1 Timothy 4 and 12 says, I'm in 2 Timothy here. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Now, what did we say an example was? He says, Timothy, you're a young man. You be an example of the believers. In word, in conversation, be an example in the way you live, in the words you speak, in the things you believe. Timothy, in charity, in love. Timothy, be an example. Now, why would you not be an example in charity? Well, because there's thousands of offenses, is there not, in life? There's offenses on every hand. Somebody has to stand up and not be so. Somebody has to show the way to others of what Christ really wants it to be like in life. And so he said, Timothy, don't let anybody despise you because you're young. You be an example. You be the kind of person that other people can follow. Be the kind that has love to everybody. Did you know that's the Bible command? Charity, love to everyone, period. There isn't any ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's the way it is, isn't it? In spirit, in faith. A young man can be an example in faith. Yes, he can. Timothy, be an example in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Timothy, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. You know, when we do these things, there's a growth that happens, isn't there? And so this morning, he's telling Timothy some very valuable things. Timothy, I want you to be to other people something that they can follow that will lead them to heaven. I want you to be something to other people that they can follow that will lead them to a life of peace and happiness. I want you to lead them in a way of truth so they're not bound into error. Folks, truth is very important this morning. The truths of the Lord, because error leads us into darkness. Okay? Now, let's look over here. Timothy is quite a... He's someone that's mentioned in the Bible. Two letters written here to Timothy. And we find a lot of valuable insights in his life. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1 and 5. And he says here, when I call to remembrance... Paul's writing here, and he said to Timothy, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Unfeigned means it's not with hypocrisy. It's real. It's true. He said, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. It's in you, Timothy. I've seen it in you. It dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, Timothy, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so he was telling Timothy, Timothy, I want you to have not a spirit of fear, but this faith that was in your mother and in your grandmother, and now I see it in you. Do you know that they didn't give him his experience with the Lord, but they showed him the way? He beheld in his grandmother, I'm certain, and in his mother. He watched their faith. He saw something there that made him understand something of God. And so Paul tells him here, he said, I'm gonna put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Now, your mother and your grandmother gave themselves to God. Do you know that I have heard some of you here, a number of you in different families, speak of your mother or your father in such a way? I remember one time somebody telling me how that one of their children was sick and how that their mother... The children's grandmother slept outside their door in the hall and prayed all through the night for this one. Do you know what that does to the child of that person? It makes them do the same thing. It makes them know this is where it is. This is an example of what you do when someone's in trouble. Someone's needing help. There's some kind of situation. There's thousands of situations in life. What do we do? I will tell you what we do. We get on our knees until we reach heaven's throne. We humble ourselves. Maybe we put aside some food. Maybe we begin to search ourselves. Lord, is there any reason here? And we begin to look into things. And do you know that we watch God work over and over, don't we? And we see Him do those great and mighty things. Folks, it is such a blessing when someone starts this process and begins to be the one that passes it on. That grandmother Eunice was perhaps the first one in her family. I don't know. But you know what? Somebody has to start and follow Christ all the way. Somebody has to give their life to the Lord. And young folks, listen, don't disallow because there's a few faults or some things we don't fully understand. Don't disallow the faith, the grace, the strength, the walk with God that those that go before us have. Don't disallow that. But let it challenge us to a walk like that also. If we'll walk with the Lord, you know the Lord will walk with us. And do you know when He said, you'll hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Have you ever had that kind of experience? Have you ever been in a total quandary, maybe for a long while, and you've sought the Lord and sought the Lord, Lord, what do I do? I don't know what to do. And by, the Spirit of the Lord says, this is the way, right here. And all of a sudden, it's all clear, and the path opens up. Folks, those things impress. They impress those that come behind us. They impress those around us that don't know the Lord. And the Lord's looking for a few. Don't let your youth be despised. Don't feel like I'm not old enough to make a difference. Folks, don't let any man despise your youth. Be an example. Young folks, be an example of the believer. Older folks, parents, let's be an example of believing, of Christ, an example that we saw. Maybe someone led us to the Lord, and now we have begun to study His ways and begin to understand and open our heart to Him and let Him have our life. And do you know that that is contagious? It begins to catch. It's something that the Lord wants from our life today. He wants to be glorified in those things. I can't tell you how many times I've heard my wife speak of her mother. My mother wasn't saved most of the time when I was raised. And I would have loved to have had that. But I didn't. But I had a lovely mother. She just wasn't always saved, and she wanted to be saved, but didn't feel like she could be. And anyway, she did get saved before she died, and I thank God for that. But you know, I've heard many times the different things that went on, the places of trust, the places, the close and hard places that my wife's family was in, and how God came through. And the things that the Lord did and worked in many ways, and the seeking and the searching and the yielding and the sacrifices that was given. Do you know that that's something that's had a profound effect on our home, on my life? Because I saw it. I beheld it. I understood it. And I longed for it. I wanted to give my life in that way. Do you know this morning, we need to behold what the Lord does in one another. We need to give our children and those around us, not just our children, folks, on the job. Somebody has to show the way. Somebody has to show the way that we don't have to curse and swear. We don't have to cheat one another. And it's not a dog-eat-dog world in the kingdom of light. Thank the Lord this morning. I'm so thankful that I've heard, that I've seen, that I've experienced myself these things. Folks, these are the things that make life good. They really are. We have something to hand off to other people today. There's a song, and I didn't get the words to it, but it says something like this. May those who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. Folks, somebody has to be that person. I just want to encourage us today to just open our arms to the Lord and serve Him. We're not talking about walking on our knees on nails or something like that. We're talking about letting God have His way in our life. Opening ourselves to the Lord and choosing His ways, choosing His values, choosing His love in a dark and unloving world, choosing His honesty and integrity in spite of what those all around us are. Folks, somebody has to do this in this world. We're coming down, I believe, to the end of the way, to the end of things. Folks, it's going to be important for you and me to encourage one another, to live in such a way that we can encourage one another, to, as the Scripture says, so much the more as we see the day approaching, that we exhort one another to godliness and to good behavior and to serve the Lord. I want to look over here at 1 Thessalonians 2 and 1. to 12. I'm going to read a little ways here. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you. Now, you know what Paul's saying right here? He said, you know how we lived among you. In different places, he very plainly says that. But he said, you know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. You know, Paul very clearly and very plainly told these people, you know how we lived. There wasn't deceit there. There wasn't uncleanness. And there wasn't guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Do you know that there's a lot of people that please men today? I have spoken to people, and they told me something. And I knew when they told me, they was only saying what they thought I wanted to hear. And it wasn't that way at all. They just said whatever. And they went, do you know that Paul said he didn't speak as pleasing men? He spoke the words of truth and soberness and righteousness. Somebody has to do that in this world today. For neither at any time used we flattering words. You find that all the time in the world. Somebody walks up, oh, you're looking good. And you know, you might not be looking good at all. But that's what you hear, isn't it? All the time. They don't even mean it many times. Now, there is times that people say that to one another in truth and sincerity. But there's a lot of flattery, isn't there? Because they want something. As you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls. Do you know what Paul was imparting to them right there? Folks, I want to remind you, he's saying, we would have given our own souls for you. We would have given our lives for you. And we put ourselves on the line. I want to remind you, he's reminding them of this very thing. For you remember, because you were dear unto us, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. laboring night and day. This was a new work, and Paul wasn't willing for them to feel a burden from him. So he himself labored night and day to make this unchargeable to them. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom. And so here we find this example that we have of Paul's life to them. We see the faith he exhibited. You know, I want us to think about something this morning. It's not all about being happy. Did you know that? It's not all about being happy. I believe the things of God bring joy and contentment and happiness to a life. But I will tell you what Paul spoke of here. He spoke of some suffering. He spoke of long days and short nights. Paul spoke of giving of himself. Do you know that it's a lot better to show our faith than it is to show our happy behavior, if you will? I want to explain that. Folks, when we get in trouble and we show faith, when we have needs and we have faith in God, when things get troubled and we have faith in God, people need to see that. Whether we feel happy or not. Sometimes we don't feel happy. I don't believe Jesus felt happy when he was getting hung on the cross. It said he sweat as he was praying, as it were, great drops of blood. Jesus was under the burden there. There are times that people need to see us under the burden. They need to see our faith exhibited. They need to see that we don't curse God and die when we get in troubles like Job did. And his wife said, curse God and die. Job didn't do that, did he? He served the Lord. Folks, there's something so valuable about having faith in God. People need to know there is a God. And many times the only way the Lord can really show them is to let people suffer a while. I believe that this morning. How many did we hear? You know, we hear regularly how the Lord healed somebody. You know, I've been sick for so long, and the Lord healed. And we don't think any more about it, hardly, do we? The request quits coming in, and it's done. And who got saved? But I will tell you what affects people when somebody is down. That affects people. Let's have faith, and let's have courage in those dark places this morning. A life of devotion. Who's going to give a life of devotion? Is there somebody's that's willing to open their arms to the Lord and give it all their life, give it all, until their last breath, give it all, until whatever happens to them, they still give it all. The hard things that come, the disappointments as they will, the many tears that are shed through a life. Sometimes there's a lot of tears, isn't there? Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes. But you know what? Our life of devotion to God and faith in Him is something of invaluable trust that we give to those around us this morning. Our vision of spiritual things. You know, if we are not careful, every one of us will get caught up in the world and not serve the Lord. If we're not careful. A good brother one time that had been saved a long time told me, he said, I know how people lose out with the Lord. And we were like, yeah. And he said, they just quit praying and reading. They just quit. They quit their devotion. And that's then pretty soon they just lose out with the Lord. You know, he was telling us something that we all know. When we get a little lax in things, we start finding that we really need to move back up, don't we? You know what? Who is willing through their life to have devotions all their life? All through their life to touch God with their life and to touch Him and to know Him? Is there some young folks that's willing to step up to the plate and say, you know what? I'll be one of those. I'll know the Lord in my life. I'll give myself to Him. Instead of rushing off to work and just reading the news or listening to whatever and running off, I'll take some quiet time all through my life. Somebody willing to do that this morning? Somebody willing to set that kind of example? You know, the Lord told us to do those things privately, didn't He? And we do. But you know what He said? He said, I'll bless you openly. The anointing, the blessing that God gives to lives comes from those things done in secret. It comes from the attitudes that we keep in our heart toward the things that happen to us, toward people, toward issues. The Lord tells us, keep your hearts with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. Who is willing to commit the rest of my life? This is who I'm going to be. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to get the grace of God. Have you seen it exhibited? I have, thankfully. I have seen those that lived it and exhibited it. I want to follow in their footsteps this morning. The standards that we keep, the places that we go. You know, people get involved in all kinds of things through life. There's hundreds of things that present themselves. And in today's world, we get a new one about every month or two, seems like. There's something more to present itself over and to drain us of our spiritual life. Who is willing to say, I'm going to have a spiritual life? Now, I don't know about all these things, and I'm not getting into all these little things. You know what? I'm going to live close to the Lord. Who is willing to do that this morning? To say, I will live close to the Lord. I don't know about those things, but if whatever it is begins to come between me and my devotion and my fire with the Lord and my passion to serve Him and serve people and help souls, if those things come between me and that, they're going to have to go. Whether they're right or wrong, whether they're sin or not, they've got to go. You know what? The Lord is looking for a few people to set a path that others can follow. Those things are healthy. They're good. They're lovely this morning. And so we want to do that. Paul said in one scripture, follow me as I follow Christ, or something to that effect. And so this morning, we're not following Paul, but we're following his path in the Lord. We're following him as he follows Christ. The things that people tell us as they're in the Lord, we take heed to those, don't we? And we follow those and let the Lord give us vision. Let him give us understanding of things in holiness, that we follow him in those things, that we don't somehow trail off and something gets a hold of us and we begin to realize, others begin to realize something wrong. You know what, folks? We've got to keep ourselves, don't we, in the love of God. Keep ourselves. Follow the Lord. Follow these ones that went before us to heaven. And that's what we want so bad, isn't it? Lord, break my leg. Deal with me however you have to, and I mean it. I want to go to heaven. Folks, we need that in our hearts, don't we, today? Teach me your ways and show me your paths. Who is willing to thirst like that? In 1 Corinthians 4 and 9, it says here, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, unto angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Why did they despise them? Because they were taking the gospel to heathen lands everywhere. Their gospel was, they killed these men, these apostles. And in the end, most of them. And so we see that Paul said, we're fools for Christ's sake. But he said, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. I'm glad Paul gave us this kind of path. Makes me know that I've got it easy. You know what? It makes me know that all of us here almost have it easy. But you know what? It doesn't stop the fact that we, in our day, in our life, we live in a very prosperous place in the world's history. Now, the economy may not be what it was, but I will tell you what. Compared to the world's history, we're doing well, folks, most of us here. And so there isn't very many that's hungry, that's thirsty. The Lord's provided, hadn't He? This nation has reaped a lot of good from their Christian heritage. But He says here, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You know what Paul was saying? Take up your cross and follow Christ, as I have done. I've shown you an example, he says. That's what he means here. Do you know, this morning, when we read these things and we take them into our life, they're examples for us, aren't they? That we don't seek out just a life of ease. Folks, a life of ease, peace, happiness, all everything's well, or everything's taken care of, that's not necessarily the life of God. This man took a life that had much problems. It had many problems. It had much suffering and much difficulty in it. But you know what he had? He had the glory of God in his heart. And he had a clear conscience and a clear life. So this morning, if God gives us ease, if God gives us ease, that's fine. If God gives us persecution, that's fine. If God gives us a place where that we're in multitudes of troubles, you know what? That's fine too. Our faith in God must persevere through all of those things this morning. The Lord help us each one to be followers of those who went before us, not to follow after what we see all around us. It is fine if God gives us good things. But you know what? We don't want to seek after it. We don't want to be following the world after it. We want to be following after the will of God in our life. And Lord, if that means you send me to a foreign land or you send me into the lion's den, may it be so. Lord, help us. We don't speak those words lightly because I know it's no fun to be in those places sometimes. But you know what? Oh, Lord, help us to leave a path that those that come behind us can follow safely and get to heaven. Those behind us won't be tripped up by our behaviors, by the paths that we took, by the false things that we allowed into our lives and into our minds and into our hearts. The Lord help us to seek Him out and to search Him and to be one of the Lord's sheep following Him. I know there's a lot more could be said here this morning. I don't know, maybe we'll continue this later. But you know, the scripture says in John 10, says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, this morning, the Lord's life was not a life of the flesh, was it? It was very much the opposite of that. But the things that He brought to us bring life and light to the world, doesn't it? Oh, is there some here that would say, Lord, I want to give my life like that. I don't have to have fun every day. If I hang on a cross one day, Lord, I want to be faithful to follow You. If my life leads me through some things of doing without, or whatever has to be done, or service to others in ways that are unpleasant. Let it be so. Lord, I just want your will in my life. We're not asking us to go out and do crazy things. Folks, we just want the will of God. Those that seek after and search after the will of God. And don't allow the many allurements all around us, all through our life, clear to the end. I've found it don't stop. It don't stop when people are 75. The allurements are still there in one way or another. And do you know that someone needs to pave the way, folks? Will it be you and me? Will we stand as a light in a dark place? Or will we fear and give up our testimony? Who is willing this morning to be one of those, a light in a dark place, a voice in the darkness, a voice in the wilderness, crying to those around us, whatever our situation is? May the Lord help us each one this morning that we can with purpose of heart serve the Lord every day of our life, all the way, and never take our sacrifice of our life off the altar of God, off of that place where it's fully God's. May the Lord bless us each one this morning. You pray for us.